CII Radio, embracing Africa, one city at a time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Bumper to Bumper. It's Friday night. My name is Ziad Plachis and I'm here with Brother Jamil Ismail. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jamil. How are you this evening?
Wa alaikum assalam, Ziad. I'm doing well. I think I'm at the exhausted phase of the year. Like, I want it to end now. I think the holiday vibes are starting to kick in. But it's always that, like, final lap of, you know, rounding up all your work. But let me tell you, there's some people who are on holiday already. Like, I don't know. There's just some people who are on holiday already.
Some people have already started the holiday in November.
That's also true. But let me ask you something. Do you travel, like, off-season? Do you, are you, like, do you follow the holidays or?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Wherever we go, we try and do it off-peak.
Okay.
Especially if, even if it's like the weekend, we'll rather go during the week and stay somewhere than go on the weekend.
So what I realized is, besides the savings, right, it's massive. I mean, you're looking at a 50% reduction at least in your
sometimes
cost.
Even more.
Sometimes even more, yeah. Right? But I think the thing that gets me the most is, if you're going anywhere, it's just so much more cool, it's usable, because there's not crowds of people. So I'll give you an example. If you go to Osaka during December, January, it's like in the entire day, you're going like maybe 4 or 5 slides. Off season, whole different story. It's just like, you know, you have access to everything. There's a lot less people. So, I mean, it obviously, like, you know, some people are really chasing their holiday vibes. But if you just want to have a good time, I honestly, I always suggest off season if you can. I know sometimes with kids and holidays and schools, it's a bit. But I also feel that if your kid is not in like grade 11 or matric, they can. They can afford to miss a day or 2 years. I don't know. How do you feel about
it? No, I think if they're at school, they need to go to school as much as possible. But if you privileged like you, no, but seriously, it's also because I think the industry that we're in, you know, like creating content and whatever, it's obviously better for us to go off peak. Because you, like you say, it's not crowded, so you get better content, you get to use the facilities. I mean, you don't want to go and stay at a hotel, for example, and you don't even see the pool because there's so many people in there. Or, you know, like there's a buffet, but you get like the last toast that's there. So yeah, it's all about if you have younger kids and you can go before they start going to school, go off peak as much as you can. That's my advice to you. But if they're in school, there's unfortunately nothing that you can do. You have to go during school holidays.
So also, I find that when you're out on holiday or you want to do things around that very tight festive Christmas New Year time, it's very rowdy. You know, even like if you can tell by people driving on the roads, you know, they've obviously had a couple of drinks. And, you know, it's better to be off the roads and kind of be at home at that point. You know, it's safer, I guess.
Yeah, you have to be very safe during this time, not only about like people that are over the limit in terms of alcohol, but also crime. Takes a huge spike now in this season. So you have to be very vigilant when you're driving. Talking about that, there was something that happened. I don't know if you saw it on social media during the week. There was a lady that, it was, I think, during load shedding in Umhlanga, and this taxi actually rammed her on the side. The car didn't flip, but it went onto the pavement. And
so the taxi bumped
the car,
went
under the pavement. And she had a elderly mother in the car, so she was like quite, you know, like shaken up. She got out of the car, and I don't know, she just like, you know, when someone comes into your zone and then you either flight or fright. What's it called?
Flight or fight.
So she went with the fight. She took on the taxi driver. And she beat him up, like, not like beat him up, like senselessly, but she was hitting him because she was so frustrated. People are obviously applauding her. Some people are saying that you know, applauding him because he now didn't do anything, you know, with abuse and stuff. But then they're saying that he took the abuse, and there was office people that were cheering on, and they sent down coffee and a donut or something. But I want to know from you, what do you think? Was it good on her? Was it bad? Because obviously we know like how taxi drivers are.
So firstly, you know, we spoke about this on here. The road rage is never a thing. And I'm telling you this because I think your frustrations get you, and I think everyone is guilty of this at some point in their life. But as far as possible, never. There's insurance for a reason. There's a whole bunch of things. But either way, like you're saying, he didn't do anything in retaliation. But you're not going to always be that lucky, you know? And you don't want to go down that sort of thing. So from my side, no, I don't think it's something that should be done ever. With abuse, no matter what, men, female, whatever it is, it's just not cool.
Yeah, so that's what happened. But yeah, so just be vigilant on the roads. Don't engage in road rage. As much as possible, walk away. Or drive away if you can. In this incident, obviously the car was damaged, so she couldn't. But yeah, stay safe on the roads. That's the message.
Definitely. But to tell me something, talking about holidays and things like that, do you have like a specific place that you enjoy road tripping to, or a certain route, or something? Is there like a destination that you find yourself returning to often, or?
We end up in Roshni a lot with our other stage.
It's not a destination at all.
No.
It's not a destination. I'm sorry.
No. We don't, there's no specific route that we like to take. We just enjoy road tripping. It obviously depends on the vehicle, but because we test a lot of vehicles.
That was going to be my next question. What was your best road trip car for 2023?
Yes, now you're making me think. No, I'll have to think.
I'm going to tell you about this.
No, you got me on the spot now. I need to think. But let me first, in terms of road tripping, I don't think there's anywhere that I wouldn't like to go. Let's put it that way. As long as I'm on the road and I'm enjoying, I don't know if my family share the same sentiment as me. Because sometimes it would get, in inverted commas, boring. You know, depending on the route that you take.
So I'm like a sucker for road trips. Like, can I tell you something? I don't enjoy flying. I find it extremely boring. I hate having to do everything according to someone else's time. Like, I like to be in control. So don't tell me you need to be here an hour before. You need to be here. But, like, it's too stressful.
Yes.
You know, it's like, okay, you know me. I'm late for every single flight. Like, there isn't a flight where I can just be like, okay, done. But the main thing is, when you drive, right, that's the one thing. You've got control. You're taking like a nice, chilled route. But then there's the second part of it where you see so much. And honestly, you learn so much. So about the route, about towns. And, you know, if you just travel with, call it a closed mind, and you just travel to get somewhere, I don't think you take as much. So we do it like very differently. You know, you'd stop at like a local business. You know, you talk to the owner. You really like come to grips with it. And he'll tell you, you know, a thing or two. And especially when in the Western Cape, people who live in the Western Cape are extremely proud of their areas. So you'll find this little place called Berrydale, for example. You'll stop there and you find a little coffee shop. And you start speaking to this man. How long have you been here? And now you're getting to the thing of, do you know when we moved here, this was here, and it's absolutely amazing. You literally look at the entire place with a different view, like completely.
But I think it's anywhere that you travel, because not to say that it's only the Western Cape, because I mean, I've been like throughout the Cape, or even like KZN or wherever it is, once you start meeting. But once you start talking and engaging with the locals, they love to share. They love to hear your stories, how you got there, and you know where you're from and whatever. But they also have, like you say, the pride, and they, especially these small towns, where they tell you about the history. I mean, you can even stop at a service station, and sometimes there's the owner that is actually there. And I've been to like quite a few in these small towns, and guys just talking. And because we like driving these review cars, then they want to know about it because it's the first time they're seeing it there, or whatever it's
So
the
what I
case.
found about KZN is if you stop at a mosque, like one of these smaller places, the moment they see GP number plates, I promise you someone will engage you. By the time you're done, until the time you're walking towards your car, whether they use the car as a subject or something, they're extremely warm people. Hey, where are you coming from? Where are you going? Hey, what car is this? Something along those lines. I always find it in KZN.
Yeah, they do that, and they used to. I'm not so sure anymore, but in the Cape as well, when you go to a masjid and they can actually see that you're new. Like they don't even see like your plates or whatever it is, because sometimes you could fly in and hire a car, whatever. But they just see that you're not from that town, and they already, like, brother, where are you from? Do you need anything? Where are you staying? Whatever it is. So that's what I like a lot about traveling, and I love to visit new masjids. For me, that's like the first thing I look is where's the
So
masjids
that's my father's thing.
on the route, and I love to go and visit new masjids.
So that's exactly my father's thing. You actually like he tries to document like every mosque that he's visited, and it's amazing. I mean, I think South Africa, we take it for granted. But there's really prayer facilities everywhere. What's funny is when we went to Tugela, as we were leaving in this rural area on the main road, there was a big mosque right on the side in the middle of
I'm
freeway.
dead.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I don't know. South African road trips are just really nice. But I do want to start doing some cross border. I really, really want to do Namibia, Botswana, and of course, Lesotho. Yeah,
Have you
that's
done the whole of South Africa, though?
look, I've done the main things, I'm not gonna lie to you. Pretty extensively as well. But in terms of South Africa, is there anything I'm missing off the like big checklist of
I
South
don't think.
Africa? Oh, maybe Northern Cape I could do a little more. Oh, and then definitely Eastern Cape. So like
Yeah, then I missed out quite a lot then.
Yeah,
Northern Cape and Eastern Cape,
no,
you have
okay, so
to.
Northern, I've done like the main stuff, but like, okay, I haven't done Gauteng, so maybe that's an option. Although that kind of road trip, you need to have people with patience because you're traveling on 100 kilometers of gravel at a time. The scenery doesn't change much. It's dry and arid, but somehow it has its own beauty, it depends what you're looking for, but for me, like anything goes. Like a few years ago, we did a place called Hennettsburg. Do you know it?
Is it?
It's basically between Polokwane and Tzeneen, and
Okay.
it's like one of the best kept gems. I promise you, it's such a quaint little town, very call it tourist orientated, smack bang in the middle of this like mountainous, woody kind of area. In fact, I won't lie to you, if it's at night, it starts with eerie because like this entire mist and things surround the place, and it's like woods, like what you'd see in like a horror movie, like just kilometers on end. And it's funny because if you stop your car next to it, there was actually a gravel road there. I did this, and I actually got off to take photos of the vehicle I was driving. And as I started taking like steps closer, this entire like forest comes alive with like creatures. Like you don't hear it when you're driving, or like even if your window is open. But turn the car off, switch it off, take a walk, and just sit still. And there's just like things happening. It's like absolutely crazy. So there was a time where I took a drive, and what I wanted to do was do like a back route from Tzeneen through to Hennettsburg, but only on gravel. But it's like it's a very it's more of like they use these roads to the trucks that carry the wood,
Okay.
right, for paper and stuff.
Right.
So it was like a sketchy route to start off with, but I stopped at one spot and I got off to take pictures, and I could hear like leaves in the background and stuff. And when I turned, there was I'm not even lying, like 20 or 30 baboons, like all just sitting there, the small ones, big ones, and they were like just like
behind you.
Behind me, right? But like behind me, like to the side. It was like you know, when I take photos, I just like go into this like zone, and I'm like, the guy is here, the light is here, and I'm trying to figure out all the settings and stuff. And next thing I'm hearing was like rustling, but it's like a lot, you know? And I turn around and I just see like all of these baboons standing there and sitting, and half of them, some of them are on the trees, some of them on the rocks. I got into the car, chucked from there. Like, you know that they're scary, eh? Did you hear the sound they make?
Yeah, I've seen.
It's like a, I don't know, like a sort of a bark or I don't know what it is. But yeah, is there any place that you need to like tick off your list? Have you been to Kimberley?
I haven't been to Kimberley.
Is it?
Yeah. No, there's quite a lot that I still want to do. And there's a lot of places. No.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I think what we should do is if you kind of like break it up by province. So look, Western Cape and Eastern Cape, you can do together, but they're so extensive, like why would you? So you'd rather say, okay, let's do Limpopo. Have you been to like Hazy View, Hood Spray, all of that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Are you a Kruger fan?
I don't, yeah. Like, I like to go, but not like a fan. Like, I
so,
need to.
So, I'm going to probably be public enemy number one, and I'm willing to debate this on air. But Kruger National Park is one of the most overrated attractions in South Africa. There, I said it. Honestly.
I've got lots of messages coming through. The phone lines are ringing.
No, seriously, have you been to Kruger?
No, I haven't been inside.
Okay, you're not missing out anything. Let me tell you, rather do Edo, rather do, like, I'm not saying it's not fun. Like, I love, like, the whole idea of a park and, you know, like, it's really nice. But firstly, accommodation in Kruger is not meant for South Africans, right? It's aimed at people who are earning in euros and dollars and pounds. Then secondly, what you get for that money is not cool at all. I mean, you get this, like, basic chalets, and it's like over 2,000 a night. I know Kruger Park Lodge is quite nice, but like I'm saying, it's not in the park. It's like nothing that's from sandparks. And then, yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like it. I honestly think it's overrated.
So we went, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, it was during COVID, and we said we were in Nelspruit. We just took a drive to Nelspruit, and then family of ours said, you know, why don't you just take a drive to Kruger? So we took a drive to Kruger and the gates were closed, so we couldn't get in.
Okay, so in that regard, we were very lucky, because when we went, it was, you know, once a year during, I think it's Heritage Week. It's free yeah. for South Africa.
Yeah, there is a Sandparks Week. Yes. It's in
September.
Is it not in November?
No, it's in September, because 15th, around that date.
Oh, I thought it was in November. I know every year we can't make it for some other reason.
Okay.
And we always want to, you know, like go to all of the sandbox because
yes.
it's free.
Yes.
But yeah, we never get a chance to make it. Yeah.
Look, if you're looking at like, you know, like luxury accommodation, you can like afford to travel with that. So there's some amazing lodges inside, like 5, like 6 star, you know. But again, it's not aimed at locals. I think the average person wouldn't be able to say enjoy a trip like that for like, I don't know. Also, another thing is like a Kruger, depends which gate you use. And I know there's a lot of like science behind it. You know, like someone actually told me, you know, if you want to see elephants, you go to this gate. If you want to see lions, like, I don't know what it is exactly. But we were very, very lucky. We did like one of the most boring gates, which is open. And within, I'd say like a 1 or 2 hour drive, we saw everything, including lions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was quite nice. But
so like, worth it then?
Eh? It was free, and we literally drove in. It was so funny before Juma. We said, okay, listen, before we go for Namaz, let's quickly do a drive just to take the kids.
Okay.
And we did a loop in there for about an hour or two, and it was crazy. We were in the park for 20 minutes. And this IX35 guy comes driving up, and he's like flashing, and like, he was like so excited. He opens his window and he's like, listen, if you drive like another like 800 meters down, there's an entire pride of lions sitting across the road.
Sure.
And I was like, are you being serious? He's like, yep. Took a drive and the jet sprawled across the entire the cubs, like, you know, the mothers, everything. And then as we like just got to the middle of the road, these two males just walked past on either side of the car. Absolutely amazing. So yeah, in that regard, it was cool. But yeah, that's it as road trips and whatever goes.
Yeah, so let's take a break,
Okay.
and then after the break, we're talking about the Proton X90.
CII Radio, embracing Africa, one city at a time.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. Before the break, we were talking about road tripping, but Jamil didn't tell us about his favorite destination, though.
It would have to be Western Cape.
Western Cape.
Somewhere in the West. Look at somewhere in the West. West
Okay.
Cape is just so pretty, man. Like, I'm not even talking, even if you take the beach or the sea out of it, think about those like country roads that we did the Fronks launch with. Like, how like picturesque, and it's absolutely stunning, right?
Yes.
What is that place called?
Ribia Castilla.
Castillo. Yes. I want to go back there.
That was very nice. I was actually thinking about it when you were talking about that road trip and the small towns and stuff.
So it's funny. I always think of that place, and I always think, whenever I think like a road trip in the Western Cape, I think of a place called Betty's Bay. I don't know if you know it.
Yes.
It's just like, you know, it's just so
So
pretty.
we actually went past Betty's Bay. We went in the 2 Series launch with
Okay.
BMW. We went along the coast,
So
the
that
west
is fun.
coast. No, but both sides. The one day we went on the one side, and the other day we went on the other side. So we went, the first day we went right up to Hermanus, and we came back, and we stayed over in Cape Town, and then the next day we went up to Paternoster,
Oh
and then we came back to the airport. So we did like the whole
yes.
like coast, west coast. Yeah, so that was quite nice. That was quite an experience.
So another nice road trip, if we have days, is to, if you're from Pretoria or Johannesburg, you drive up to like around Upington and then straddle the coast all the way down to Cape Town. It's quite a distance, but again, if you're into that sort of road trips, it's stunning.
Have you gone on the garden route?
So I haven't done it. I haven't done it the way it should be and the whole thing. I kind of cut in the middle and just came through. Yeah.
You must try it. You must go from KZN and then go right, like from, you know, like from the KZN side and go down to the Western Cape, to Cape Town. When you enter, and you enter from Stellaris Pass, have you entered from the, have you ever entered? And you see Cape Town, like the whole of Cape Town. It's like, it's better than being on a plane, like, you
Yes,
know.
and that's what I'm saying. I don't know. Seriously, I just, and the worst is international flights for me. Like, you sit there for 8, 9 hours. And you know, the thing is with a flight, your flight goes according to how good your passenger next door is. And then, you know, you'll find the guy who's now reading his newspaper, opening the whole thing next to you. And it just, there's this, I don't know.
No, but you can't drive the international.
Look, that's what I'm saying. It's like that. That's, I mean, you have no choice there,
Yeah.
right? But I mean, locally, you can just drive. You shouldn't have to fly to Cape Town, seriously.
So you were going to tell us what your favorite road trip car was, and I know it's a
Vehicle.
V-Class.
No doubt. I mean, that vehicle, you can't fault it in any way. Like, everything about that vehicle is just amazing. It's comfortable. It's got all the features that you require, all the comfort. You know, you sit in that seat, right? And I'm not even talking as a driver. I'm talking as a passenger. It also is, you know, those like captain seats, but with like a folding tray, and you know these things that pop out. And you know, it's just such a comfortable place to be. As a driver, that vehicle does not know it weighs that much, because if you're a toll gate and just to try it out, you put your foot down. It's like you reach the speed limit very quickly. But and also another thing is, on the long road, like the distance that we're driving, it was so light in fuel. I can't remember what is the exact mileage or consumption we're getting, but It was just so amazing.
But the new Mercedes range, the consumption
You
is
told me it was
very,
the
very good.
200 is well, right?
Wait, I had the A200D,
Yeah.
3.5 liters, my best ever fuel consumption.
You see, man.
3.5 liters.
And how are you driving it? Like normal?
Like normal. I
See.
was even driving it in comfort, in sport, in
Yeah.
everything. I think by the time I finished, I was like averaging, like combined, like everything was like 5 point something.
No, that's crazy. So I actually really wanna drive both the 200s, diesel and the petrol, because I've heard so many good things about it.
Yeah, it's like it's really they've upped their game a lot. I mean, I said that BMW has, like fine-tuned, especially the diesel engine, but I was really surprised Mercedes-Benz.
Okay.
They've really upped their game quite a lot. And I mean, you see, like we're talking about getting down to 3.5 liters, and then we have the Asian vehicles that are still doing 10 liters. So I know you had a bit of a problem with the Proton X90.
Look, I'm not going to lie to you, right? I could not get that vehicle. So the claimed fuel consumption for that vehicle was 6.8. I tried my best. I think the best I could do was like 8 point something, which is not crazy. It's not way off. I mean, you know that these vehicles are tested in such perfect conditions. But I just, you know what, like, I don't know. That was if I was trying. If I drove mine the way I normally drive, I think we were sitting about 10 point something.
So there's a trick with the Proton that I learned,
Okay, you tell me
because
this after nearly almost a month.
no, because I
How
also
much fuel is holding that car?
I don't, but it was quite a big tank, wasn't it? A 60 liter. So how far, where were you driving?
No, I hit the car for almost a month.
Okay.
So what I don't realize, and I was about to tell you, was I was going to say that I'm getting my first long-term test, right? But I'm just thinking backwards now. The motor I had was long-term, not because they kept on extending it
You had it
infinitely.
also for like almost a month, 3 weeks.
3 weeks, right?
Okay.
Then the Proton was almost a month. So yeah, I'm getting my first long-term test vehicle. A vehicle that you know is very close to my heart, so I'm going to use it to just travel about in December and get
Sure.
my five doors on me. So
Wonderful.
yeah, very cool. I'm super excited about it. I won't lie.
So you got a planned trip.
So I don't have like something fixed in stone. What I do have is a few options. So I'm going to see what's going to work for that car the most. I was on a bit of a spree stamping my passport, so the bug has bitten. So I'm going to see maybe I can throw in a Lesotho or Mozambique or something.
But you have to get it cleared with them before you.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just telling
I'm
you,
not going to hide it.
don't get to the border, and then they're like,
Don't you need the vehicle's papers and insurance anyway?
so they'll give you a letter
Right.
to say that they've authorized. I mean, okay, while we're on the subject, I know we're supposed to be talking Proton X90 now, but while we're on that subject, a lot of people don't know that even if it's your vehicle, like in inverted commas, it's owned by the bank, you still need a letter from the bank to say that you can take it over the border. So in the obviously now you're using a test car, so you need permission from them to say that you can take it over the border. So unless and obviously you need from your insurance as well, because you need to tell your insurance
So
if it's
what
your.
if the bank doesn't own the car?
So if you own your car, you need a logbook
Logbook?
or a copy of your logbook.
What's a logbook? Where would you put
Okay,
it?
so then it's just basically, we used to call it a logbook. It's now your motor vehicle license. What is the name for it now? Where you get your disc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that page that you cut
But
your disc out of,
not that one,
so
the original one that when
your
you,
car's papers.
yes, the car's
But
papers.
it's not safe to drive with your car's papers.
But you need to have something to show them that it's your car, that the car is not stolen.
But is that the best way to think about this, right? I'm just saying,
Yeah.
if you know that every single vehicle that crosses the border has their papers in the vehicle, That's a major risk.
No, so then you have a copy of it certified or something. But what I'm trying to say is you have to have something to show that you own the vehicle. If you don't own the vehicle, the bank needs to say that they own the vehicle. They're giving you permission to take it over. Because if you don't have any papers, when you get to the border, they're not going to let you through.
So let me ask you, just on this note, right? If I go now and I take this Suzuki, I'd need a letter from Suzuki. I'd need a copy of the vehicle's papers.
Well, they can obviously give a letter stating that, you know, the car, these are the details or whatever. This is a contact person if they need to contact them or whatever it is. They will know because, I mean, they send cars. We went over the border, so they know exactly what needs to be done.
Yeah.
They're not going to give you the papers because just now you go and sell the car. That.
Or just but,
yeah. But, yeah, you just transfer it into your name because you've got now the papers. But you do need something. You can't go there empty-handed.
Okay, no, I get that. I understand that. But I didn't know that you had to carry that the vehicle's papers. Okay.
Yeah.
So, back to your...
Okay, so, no, but you had it for a month now. So tell us, besides the fuel consumption, how was the drive?
Okay, the drive is good. It feels very premium. I'm not going to lie to you. And I keep reminding myself of the price because, honestly, the price is not bad.
It's very good.
Well, how much is the Kia Sportage?
You're looking at about...
Stunning, right? This is not the same...
No, but this is more like a multi-purpose vehicle. You can't compare it to a Kia Sportage. You have to compare it to like a Carnival, Sorento or Carnival. It's in that range. And that you're looking 800, 900, a million. And this thing starts at 560.
Yeah. No, it's definitely it's such good value for money, honestly. In fact, all of them, right, besides the X50. And fine, the X50, we're going to get into the debate and whatever. I just feel like the market it's aimed at, because that's my second excuse now or argument for it, right? I know it doesn't compete directly with X55 or Moda, but that's the same buyer that they're targeting.
I don't think so.
No,
I think you think that it is.
No, let me tell you why, right? It's the age. Think about the age range. What is the ideal age range of a Proton X50 driver? 35 to 45?
Your age.
Okay, listen, 35 to 45.
No, younger than that. X50.
Okay, so 30 to 40.
So it's a person that just either recently just got married or started having kids because it's like a family car.
I think it's that family car. Like you have one or two kids,
yeah.
Both small.
So it's you. You are the target market.
Right.
But you are saying that you're not going to choose it because you've got the X55 and you've got the C5.
I'm saying based on my age and the price of that vehicle, I'm not going to see the value in buying that over... Like, I would because I'm a car person and the car drives so much. It's such a nice drive, right? Can we agree on that?
No, definitely. I mean, that turbo engine is turbo.
It's one of those drives where you don't feel like you're in a boring car. Now, if you look at, for example, the Mazdas, it feels like you're in a boring car.
Because it's familiar.
Yeah, but also it's like the engines are fucked. Yes.
But you... Comparing a naturally aspirated engine with a turbo engine.
We didn't ask them to go naturally aspirated, right?
Yeah, but they've been doing it, but it works.
But it sales are not, so it's not.
Yeah, but you see, now we're talking a whole different thing of that being down because there's an influx of these cheaper Asian vehicles.
Yes. So let me just tell you, I honestly feel, and this is just a personal thing, that 2023 was the year for, like, Chinese automotive everything. Like, I think years before, obviously, like, I was shocked to hear Val is, like, how old? Is it 16 years or something?
Probably, yeah.
Like, in my mind, they're, like, 5 years old.
Yeah, because only since they started revamping, even bike has been in the country for almost, like, 20 years or something.
And you look at, what's these other people, Chery as well, right? a while, but they like really revamped, and I feel this year they penetrated the South African market properly. Where you're like seeing a lot of their vehicles around, you're seeing a lot of their vehicles, and even in the secondhand market, that like, you're seeing a lot of them, you know. So for me, I do feel every single Proton is such great value for money, honestly. The sweet spot, and I know this is out of my age range, is the X70, personally. I think that's, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, you know why, right? That car is aimed at a very specific person, and that person that it's aimed at, they've nailed it to the T. The way the vehicle drives, the way the vehicle looks, the quality of materials used, it's for that.
Was it that tan leather that got you?
The leather, okay, firstly, I'm so over, you know, the red, the ox blood thing. For me, it's brown now. That's my favorite interior. So I don't know if you've seen this, but on a BMW M5 competition, right? Just go and play with the configurator, make your interior brown and your vehicle white, and look at how nice it looks. Or you make the outside, basically like the paint, the exterior paint, the blue, you know, that dark blue, and the interior white.
Interior white.
It's stunning.
The
Stunning.
seat's
The
white.
seat's white.
Okay, let's
Look,
see.
I'd never
But
give you
the tan is a very old school.
it's like classy. I think it looks premium. It brings out the design of the seat very nice. So you must always look at this, right? The seat design, like I'm talking like the stitching, the padding, like where things are, it gets lost in black, right? And I think the brown like really makes it feel premium. And it has such a smart wheel on there. Do you remember what it looks like? The wheel.
Oh yes. No, the X70 is very nice. It's not my favorite in the
Okay, the X50 is your favorite, right?
No, I actually really enjoy the X90.
Okay.
The drive, like
What color was the one you chose?
gray,
Okay, so they're the same one, I'm pretty sure.
probably.
And how massive is that vehicle sunroof?
Well, this vehicle is almost 5 meters. It's like 4.8 meters or something.
Serious.
Yeah, it's quite a
But
long
it doesn't
vehicle.
feel so long, like, I mean, when you're like driving it. It
No,
has a good turning
yeah,
circle. It feels nice.
no, it is. It's that's why I say it value for money, because if you think of how the X70 is priced, how the X50, like, because you can obviously look at the premium, and how the X90 is priced, I think that is definitely value for money, because you've got this similar engine. It's a 1.5 TGDI throughout the X50, X70, and X90. But it's obviously tuned for each vehicle, so you don't even feel that it's the same engine, because
Yes.
this is
That was
producing 140 kilowatts, I think.
one of the things that picked up the most. Where, like you say, it's the same engine throughout. And I remember this, call it 2012, 2013 with Audi. You know you're driving the same engine, like whether it's an A3, A4, it just the characteristics are all the same. In the Proton, I think the way they tune each engine is so specific to the vehicle. But it, like you said, it doesn't feel, and I thought to myself, okay, here's this vehicle, it looks big, it's like you said, 4.8 meters long, it's got a 1.5 turbo, right? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, this thing is going to be lazy, like, you know, or it's going to feel, so turbo cars sometimes don't feel lazy, but they feel under strain. I don't know if you get what I mean. And I didn't pick that up at all. Like, it just felt comfortable.
No, but like you said, with the Mazda, with the naturally aspirated engine, they have the same engine in a lot of their vehicles. And you can feel that, like certain vehicles are underpowered. Like it works in the CX30, but it doesn't work in the CX5, say, for example. Whereas here, they have the same engine, but because it's tuned accordingly, taking into account the weight of the vehicle, the size of the vehicle, and whatever, I think that's what gives them the edge in the market. And you see, these are the type of things that people need to be educated on in terms of what Proton has to offer, because I think you can't just dismiss them completely, because you say, the price wise, like.
You know, every person I spoke to who was looking for a vehicle in their budget, I kept on saying the same thing. Don't, I'm not saying go and buy it. I'm saying going test drive.
Yes.
Because I think I was very, very pleasantly shocked. And I always joke with the guys from Proton saying that you started me off on the best. You guys gave me the X50. So you won me over with that car. But it's really, it just feels premium, man. It feels good. A lot of the Chinese vehicles, you know, the digital cockpits are there and, you know, like all these fancy stuff. But you can feel it doesn't have that. I don't know what it is. It's so hard to explain, like in words, but everything on the outside looks fancy. You know, you press it and there's these lights that are shining everywhere and, you know, all these different gauges and things to read. But when you put your foot down, it doesn't feel premium.
But the car itself, you know, the doors and everything, you can feel that, you know, it's solid.
Even like if you look at the dash, right? The stitching, the materials, it's like really put together well.
Yeah. So what was your favorite feature of the X90?
Okay, when you say feature,
mm.
Probably the self-parking, because it's a big vehicle. Oh, no, I'm lying. Still had to do with parking. You know, all cars have this, well, most of the new cars, you have a camera, right? And then you have this like radar that basically yes,
the PDC.
The PDC, right? This one tells you in centimeters how far you are, which is for me amazing because a lot of the times these things are set like weirdly. So you'll hear this thing beeping out of control. On a vehicle that's 4.8 meters, you'll still be like jacking off on the road. So when you park the car and you get off and you look, you're like, there's still so much of space. I can still back it up more. This is like so like good. Because even the cameras, I don't know if you noticed, some of them are like really zoomed in. Some of them are like, you know, it's not very accurate.
Yeah.
So these that was, I think, I know it's a silly sounding feature, but it was really helpful.
No, but it's not silly because, like you say, there's a lot of vehicles that start beeping when you like, quite far away from everything, and you think that you know you're getting so close, but it's still like you say, like a meter away or whatever it is, and that can also affect the way you park because you then are jutting out. So it is a very good feature to have.
Yeah. What was yours then?
It wasn't really like a feature, but I mean, the captain seats for me in the second row, I think it was because we had kids and it was easy for them to, you know, like there was space. They were sitting apart from each other when they wanted to. And then when they wanted to go to the back, there's that space. They don't have to jump over seats and, you know, like it's safe.
It's like a little corridor to...
Yeah, so little passage.
It's so weird because this is... Like, I think the first time I heard of captain seats was Suzuki, the XL6.
Okay.
And now when I'm looking back or, like, looking at vehicles, there's quite a few that have them. So this is one.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's one of the...
The Kia Carnival has one.
Is it has. One of the Range Rovers as well?
Can't remember now.
But it's just, it's a really comfortable space. Another thing is when they say six-seater, it's six seaters, like six adults, eh? Did you jump
in? So they said seven, they actually claim seven adults can fit comfortably, but it's six seats.
So where does the seven
person? In the middle. There's like six individual seats. So the two back seats are like actual seats, but you can apparently fit three people in that row.
Did you say that the back, like that?
I did. Yeah, I sat at
the back. It's comfortable.
It is very comfortable.
Quite comfortable.
Yeah. Like, no, but even the second row, there's like quite a lot of space. It's like a lot of leg room.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more than you get in the planes. So that's something that you should road trip with.
So this, I was going to ask you, is this your ultimate road trip vehicle for 2020?
I don't know if it's my ultimate road. Maybe for, maybe for 2020. I have to get back to you on that because I have to actually think about all the vehicles that I have.
You're going to send me a list, I'm going to send you a list. And not the answers, but you're going to tell me, what is your best performance car for you? What is your best, all of these things.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And then...
So next week, we're going to do that.
Next week is like a proper festive edition.
Okay.
Right? Like I'm closed at work, so I'm going to be in a much different frame of mind.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to have like an award.
Yeah, I think we should give out the awards.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think we should name and shame some cars or so.
Let's make this next week's episode a very controversial one. We can't get fired. It's end of the year.
Yeah.
That's right. And
I just won't renew our contract next year.
No, but on a serious note, let's look at some of the vehicles that really
stood out for us this
you
year.
know. In Grand Cherokee, I don't understand why that vehicle is not selling.
I wanted to ask you
It's
about
not
that.
priced badly, number one. It's packed with features. The five seater looks gorgeous. The seven is massive. It's so capable off road. Okay, I don't. So my father and I were talking about it yesterday. Even though it's a proper off road, eh? You just wouldn't have the heart to take something that pretty out into like the sticks, you know? But that's one of those vehicles, and like I'm saying, there's just so many nice vehicles out there that, you know.
I actually wanted to ask you about the fuel consumption and that, because Jeep had a very high fuel consumption before in their vehicles.
So this was something that I brought up on the launch. It was one of the few vehicles that were SUVs that was reading way lower than they claimed. So I can't remember what was the exact thing, but I think they claimed on the vehicle I was driving was like 9 point something. I literally asked my partner who was driving with me to take a picture of this. I was doing 120 kilometers per hour on the highway for a distance. It was a video, it wasn't a photo. And I think I can't remember what is exactly. It's in the article, but I think I was running at about 7 or something.
Okay, so they've improved on that.
Yeah. It's softer in terms of like being a Jeep, but it's so premium. I just don't understand why the vehicle is not selling. Like, it has the prestige, it has the name. Price wise, I mean, are people like so into X5s and things?
The bigger culture
Yeah, and the X5. Yeah,
behind the
I guess also
BMWs.
resale and stuff. I mean, if you really have to go down
But
that.
you see, like I'm saying to you, I didn't know that they've rectified their fuel consumption. Now, people that bought Jeeps in the past were like, they were, like, I'll never buy a Jeep again because it drained their bank account. So those are
So
the,
you remember those Hemi engines?
yeah,
Was it 5.7? Yeah.
5.8 or something.
Five.
Or five, yeah, 5.7, 5.8.
Imagine a 5.7. But people would laugh at you now. It's like, what are you doing?
But now everything is
Oh,
so
and that's
electric.
another thing. On that Jeep, there's no diesel anymore. Eh?
Oh.
Yeah, there was absolutely no benefit to having a diesel. It's just the smoothest, silkiest petrol.
But wouldn't the diesel have better consumption?
Well, they said that this is basically the midpoint between performance and longevity and fuel consumption.
Is it mild hybrid though? Or is it fully nice?
I don't think it's mild. I think axial.
Interesting. Are they only bringing this into South Africa, or is it
I'm
now?
just checking. I'm not sure.
Because sometimes the market, they just, bring certain vehicles in
So
and
I know for certain that there won't be an SRT.
okay.
It's the end of the road.
Yeah.
Which is sick because I feel that this particular one, it has a quite aggressive styling. And it would look really nice in SRT guys. Not to mention, like SRT is always wild. Have you ever driven one?
I've been in one, but yeah, I've never
You watch
driven.
one though, it's sickening. Oh, talking about Jeep, just something that I'm quite excited about, which on Monday I'm picking up a Gladiator.
Okay.
So yeah, exciting.
So.
I'm gonna post pictures. We'll put it on the CII page as well. It's a very unique color. You'll see it. I'm pretty sure you haven't seen one in this color. Firstly, Gladiators are very rare. What's the price of a Gladiator?
I'm not sure you're the cheap expert.
How did you guess? But I just really like cheap. What is the price? Okay, whatever it is, I'll check it. But like, I mean, you don't see much. But the reason you don't see many Gladiators is because we just can't, like South Africa can't keep up with the demand. So the vehicles that land are sold like months in advance.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that for all their vehicles or just the?
So I know we were having this discussion with someone from Jeep regarding the Gladiator. I'm not sure if this is trickling down to all, But you know, there was the chip shortage and then this. So it has impacted sales, but they just don't have stock. There is no stock.
But you know, it's a lot of the cars. It's not only the stock, it's also bringing the cars in. There's been a lot of red tape around it, and the import duties have been exorbitant. Because I know even with like the German brands, Audi, BMW, Mercedes-Benz, they want to bring in other vehicles, but it's costing them so much that by the time it lands here, it's basically not going to be worth their while to bring the vehicles in.
I mean, that makes sense, but it's also like sad because in terms of like the government, there's like levies in everything, fuel, everything, you know. So the fact that our cars are quite highly priced, and then you still got this fuel levies and taxes and whatever it is, it makes it hard to own a vehicle, you know, something nice.
But it makes it hard for them to bring the vehicles in. Because I mean, look at like for example, you have an A200 and an A200D, and that's the A class. Well, you have A45 and A35, but I mean, that's your A class range. They're not bringing in the C class as well. They're bringing two variants, and I mean, there's so many variants overseas.
But I personally think that makes sense. You know why? You get people, honestly, any vehicle, right? If you like a car, which let's say you like the shape of the A class, you either want an economic A class or fast A class. There's no like, I want it a little bit economic, but more fast.
But
I want
then
it, but not like, you know.
why do BMW sell all their derivatives? How do you explain that? Because they've got so many different ones, man. When they used to have like a 3 series, a 320, 323, 325,
They got
328, 3.
how much do they have? 320, 340. Is there still a 330?
I don't think there's a 330 now.
And basically, the 35s are the 40s. So I mean, it's literally, this is how it is. You like the shape of the vehicle. You want the daily. There's your A200, right? Why diesel? I'm not sure why is they do or whatever it is, but some people maybe because after this 2 rand decrease in diesel, and then there's the A35 and A45, and again I'm going to be butchered, but I preferred the A35 over the A45. I felt it more usable. I felt it more. I just honestly felt it was like a more all round. A45 is a handful.
It's wild.
It's
Let's
wild.
just
But it's like I can say it's a handful, you know, like to access that vehicle's power, you need to have like a certain amount of talent and skill.
No, but you see
Whereas
that's the whole thing about going to AMG Driving Academy is that you have to any performance vehicle, like we were talking about the Audi driving experience as well. The performance vehicles, you have to have some sort of certificate or, you know, like some sort of extra,
you know,
what's it?
I really think it's important now because I think performance cars are not performance cars. If you look at, so just to give you this example, right? If you look at a supercar of, let's say, 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, do you know hot hatches are currently as fast or faster than
It's
some of
faster,
those?
yeah.
And it's crazy to like digest what I'm saying, but I'm almost certain that, for example, okay, I know like the F-450 would probably be like killed by A45, am I right?
Yeah, well, this is the only 1.4 liter turbocharged engine. It's like the quickest 1.4 liter turbocharged engine in the world is the A45S. If we're talking even just in the Mercedes-Benz range, we're talking about the A200. That's a 1.3 liter turbocharged engine producing 120 kilowatts. 120 kilowatts in a small hatch like that. It's crazy.
But what engine is that?
What do you mean, what engine?
Is it not a Renault?
They co-developed it with Renault. Yeah. But
Why did your smile just go like I took the light from you?
no, I mean, the way you're making it like they put a quid engine in in a Mercedes-Benz. It's not a quid engine like people think it is, 1.3 liter. It's a 1.3 liter turbocharged, and I mean it's like seriously turbocharged. When I tested that car, I normally test the fuel consumption, and I said I'm not even testing fuel consumption. I want to test the power because it's like crazy, crazy, crazy.
You said it is like it actually
Yeah,
moves, right?
it's like I've never had a 1.3 liter engine do those things that this engine does. But then if you look at even the now new AMGs, I recently had the C43, and that is a mild hybrid, so it's taking on the C class, and that's producing 300 kilowatts. So that's like mad. It's insane. So I mean, like you're saying, those are like production cars. They're not even like super.
Did you like 340? You did.
I did.
Would you take a 340? Can you compare it to it? Okay,
You
not
see,
price, not
okay,
price.
everybody says that because they were launched now both this year, the M340i and the C43, I personally don't think that they should be in the same category, right? But lots of people are because, I mean, the M340i using that same engine that you have, the six-cylinder engine that you have in the M240i, the M440, it's the same engine.
It's the same engine for a reason. You don't fix what's not broken.
No.
That is the best engine ever. The BMW 340 is one of my favorite cars, like, period. And the reason why I say that it's literally a wolf in sheep's clothing, it makes all the right sounds. That vehicle feels so put together. I love this car.
That's why I say you can't compare the C43 to this.
I get what you're
It's
saying as well.
like not a different league, but it's I don't think you can put them side by side and say, like I'm actually gonna do a comparison between the two, and then we'll see.
I think, yeah, let's look at that. That would be a nice one.
But I mean, I can tell you off the top of my head, I know the BMW produces about 285 kilowatts, whereas this is producing 300 kilowatts. They already, it's gonna, it's, yeah. And the pricing, you're looking at about, I think, 1.2, 1.3 for the M340i and 1.7 for the, so, I
So
mean,
what's
they,
paying 500,000 rand more for 20 kilowatts?
but it's how you drive it. It's not only that. Okay, firstly, let's talk about M340i as an M performance. It's not an M car, right? C43 is an AMG. So they already, you can't compare the two.
No, I get what you're saying. It's just like, we needed that rivalry, like we just be constant.
Yeah.
And like we don't want to hear that somebody with an M badge or AMG doesn't have a rival from the other stable.
I suppose, but I think there's a new M3, then maybe, that's like similar spec than everything.
Maybe we need an M3 light.
You mean a CSR?
No, see, okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah. So more like a can't say budget, right? Because I don't know, it's just something.
Yeah, you see, it's very the C43 is actually what's the word? It's in a different like a overlapping category. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't really put it in the same category as the M340i, and if there's an M3, I don't think it would be in that category. I think the C63 may be more. SE would be more in this. Yeah, that's going to be more with the M3. So it's a little bit out. But I think we've gone over time tonight.
But also, Lucky started us late, so we
Okay.
have to get to. But no, let's get our list ready for next
Yeah.
week. And to our listeners, if you are already on holiday, be safe. Have an amazing holiday. We'll get you guys next week if you aren't
No, but
leaving
they
already.
can stream us anywhere in the world.
No one's going to stream that anyway. You said you're going to be somewhere in Zanzibar. No one's going to sit with their phone.
They want to listen to us on a
Yes.
Friday night. Yes. We have a
Okay.
lot of good things to tell them.
But also, I think if I'm not mistaken, next week, we're going to be speaking to someone from Jeep. We're also going to be speaking to Michael next week. We've got a very hot topic with him. Contentious, but we'll talk about
We're
it.
going to have time for our awards.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to speak to Lucky next week. You must give us.